about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for listening today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Park. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people, and don't think you know it all. Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God, for the scriptures say, I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their heads. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. All of Romans chapter 12. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege, the honor, the blessing, and the opportunity to give our bodies to you as living sacrifices, our bodies, our entire being to you as living sacrifices. What a privilege it is to do that, but also what an opportunity to be able to plug into you and your kingdom and your spirit in wonderful, wonderful ways. Lord, more and more, help us to live sacrificially every day, knowing that we can't sacrifice too much in view of the fact that you gave us the best that you had and made a way for us to be saved. Help us to live loving you enough to live a sacrificial life every day. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Mark Oss is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Thank you, Lord God, for another day, another opportunity to serve you. And Lord God, I thank you for your amazing word, which you wrote through those prophets of old over a span of thousands of years 40 authors or thereabouts, and without the advantage of a computer or any way to cross-reference, and yet everything that they wrote all the way through the Bible agreed about your nature, your character, who you are, and every scientific fact that has been that has come under scientific scrutiny, even by modern methods, has been shown to be true. God, it is true. Your word is true, and it's miraculous, and it is what we should follow every day of our lives. And I thank you, Lord God, that Pastor Joseph is here to read through it again today. And I thank you, Lord God, that I get to be a part of that. We just pray that you would be glorified in this program today and your purpose would be served in the people who listen to it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Mark. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. I'd like to begin with, as we share an article by the title, Why Should I Read and Meditate on God's Word Daily? Again, the title, Why Should I Read and Meditate on God's Word Daily? We live in a busy world. We're all running every day. We all have lots to do. We all have full schedules. We each have a set of priorities. Each of us can say, I'm a very busy person. We each set our own schedules. We each decide what we'll do. We each choose to do what we want to do each day. Well, in the busyness of life, why should we read God's Word every day? Why is it important to make it a priority to open God's Word and spend time reading His Word daily? And why is it important to read a significant portion rather than only a scripture or two a day? Well, let me explain. The Word of God is food for our spirit. Some believers don't seem to realize that we really do need to feed our spirits similarly to how we need to feed our physical bodies. In view of this reality, some believers feed their spirit very poorly and very inconsistently. For that reason, there are too many believers that are basically spiritually anemic, weak, unreliable spiritually, easily defeated spiritually as well. Too many believers nibble on the Word of God when we need to be eating a good, wholesome, nourishing meal of God's Word on a daily basis. It appears that too many believers seem to live a fasted lifestyle when it comes to God's Word. Yet when it does come to God's Word, you should never fast. Every believer needs a daily diet of God's Word. We should read and meditate on God's Word every single day. Reading three chapters in the Bible every day is a good basic quote-unquote diet to begin with. When we read the Word of God every day, many very important things happen to us spiritually. We grow closer to God. We grow in our knowledge and understanding of God, and we are empowered in the things of God. As we read and think on God's Word, the Word and the Holy Spirit together are working on us. They're molding and shaping us to become more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we spend time reading God's Word, the Word, quote unquote, programs us to think and walk and act more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Daily, as we read God's Word, we're empowered in the things of God. Also, we're washed anew by the cleansing power of God's Word. See Ephesians 5. As we read God's Word, we are nourished in the things of God, and we grow in the grace and knowledge of God. See 2 Peter 3:18. Take time to pray and ask God to help you begin the discipline or habit of reading God's Word every single day. Once you begin this habit, it will be one of the most productive habits or disciplines in your whole life. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Here are 11 excellent reasons you should read God's word every single day. Number one, it tells you genuinely how to be saved and how to grow up in your faith. See John 3:16, Psalm 119, verse 105, Romans 12, 1 and 2, Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Number two, a second reason to read the word daily is because it gives you clear guidance and direction for much of your life. See Psalm 119, verse 105. Number three, Reading the Word daily is important because it empowers your prayer life. See Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Number four, it sharpens your ability to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit more and more clearly in your life. See 1 Corinthians 1, 5. Number five, it ministers to your mind, body, and spirit. See Proverbs 4, 20 to 22. Number six, it helps you maintain your mental health. See Proverbs chapter 4. Number seven, it increases God's anointing on every area of your life. See 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 5. And number eight, it increases your wisdom in every area of your life. See Proverbs chapters 1 through 4. Number nine, reading the Word daily is important because it enhances your intellect and your personality. It literally can increase your IQ. See 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 5. A tenth reason, reading the Word daily pours grace, joy, and peace into your spirit, your mind, and your life. See 2 Corinthians 1, 2, 1 Timothy 1, 2, and 2 Timothy 1 and 2, and Galatians 5, 22. And 11, in direct statement or in principle, God's Word gives you guidance and or direction about every issue and every topic in all of life. See Psalm 119, verse 105. Now, here are seven things we are wise to do with the Word of God every day. We can read it, hear it, believe it, speak it, obey it, pray it, and meditate on it. All of them are closely connected, but none are quite the same thing. And remember, reading three chapters in the Bible daily will bless you a lot. And finally, if you are listening today and you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ, we want to invite you to take a moment to pray a prayer like this one and make that step and fully commit your life to Christ. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into the world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all the wrong things I've ever done. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, on this day, I fully recommit my heart and my life and my all to you. Take my life and use it for your glory all the days of my life. In your word, you said, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, again, the title of that article, Why Should We Read and Meditate on God's Word Daily? And if you are one who did just commit your life to Christ and received Christ, please get in touch with us. Once again, my email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We would definitely like to get into your hands some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Once again, that email is joseph@afr.net. If you'd like to get a copy of the article, again, the title of the article, Why Should I Read and Meditate on God's Word Daily? Simply email us, again, the same email mentioned earlier, joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get it to you again, joseph@afr.net. Father, thank you for every single person listening now, and thank you for your hand of grace upon them. Anoint each and every one of us afresh with the spirit that would encourage us to make it a high priority to read and meditate on your word every day, and help us to make time, even with busy schedules, to do that and receive the blessing that follows. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back. Trust in you. Planet Shakers with Only Way, a reminder that Jesus Christ is the only way to eternal life and eternal salvation. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. We pick up now reading through the Word of God in the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 13, beginning at verse 13. Meanwhile, Jeroboam had secretly sent part of his army around behind the men of Judah to ambush them. When Judah realized that they were being attacked from the front and the rear, they cried out to the Lord for help. Then the priests blew the trumpets, and the men of Judah began to shout. At the sound of their battle cry, God defeated Jeroboam and all Israel and routed them before Abijah and the army of Judah. The Israelite army fled from Judah, and God handed them over to Judah in defeat. Abijah and his army inflicted heavy losses on them. 500,000 of Israel's select troops were killed that day. So Judah defeated Israel on that occasion because they trusted in the Lord, the God of their ancestors. Abijah and his army pursued Jeroboam's troops and captured some of his towns, including Bethel, Jeshana, and Ephron, along with their surrounding villages. So Jeroboam of Israel never regained his power during Abijah's lifetime. And finally, the Lord struck him down and he died. Meanwhile, Abijah of Judah grew more and more powerful. He married 14 wives and had 22 sons and 16 daughters. The rest of the events of Abijah's reign, including his words and deeds, are recorded in the commentary of Iddo the prophet. 2 Chronicles chapter 14. When Abijah died, he was buried in the city of David. Then his son Asa became the next king. There was peace in the land for 10 years. Asa did what was pleasing and good in the sight of the Lord his God. He removed the foreign altars and the pagan shrines. He smashed the sacred pillars and cut down the Asherah poles. He commanded the people of Judah to seek the Lord, the God of their ancestors, and to obey his law and his commands. Asa also removed the pagan shrines as well as the incense altars from every one of Judah's towns. So Asa's kingdom enjoyed a period of peace. During those peaceful years, he was able to build up the fortified towns throughout Judah. No one tried to make war against him at this time, for the Lord was giving him rest from his enemies. Asa told the people of Judah, "Let us build towns and fortify them with walls, towers, gates, and bars. The land is still ours because we sought the Lord our God, and he has given us peace on every side." So they went ahead with these projects and brought them to completion. King Asa had an army of 300,000 warriors from the tribe of Judah, armed with large shields and spears. He also had an army of 280,000 warriors from the tribe of Benjamin, armed with small shields and bows. Both armies were composed of well-trained fighting men. Once an Ethiopian named Zerah attacked Judah with an army of 1 million men and 300 chariots. They advanced to the town of Maresha. So Asa deployed his armies for battle in the valley north of Maresha. Then Asa cried out to the Lord his God, "O Lord, no one but you can help the powerless against the mighty. Help us, O Lord our God, for we trust in you alone. It is in your name that we have come against this vast horde. O Lord, you are our God. Do not let mere men prevail against you." So the Lord defeated the Ethiopians in the presence of Asa and the army of Judah. and the enemy fled. Asa and his army pursued them as far as Gerar, and so many Ethiopians fell that they were unable to rally. They were destroyed by the Lord and his army, and the army of Judah carried off a vast amount of plunder. While they were at Gerar, they attacked all the towns in that area, and terror from the Lord came upon the people there. As a result, a vast amount of plunder was taken from these towns too. They also attacked the camps of herdsmen and captured many sheep, goats, and camels before finally returning to Jerusalem. 2 Chronicles chapter 15. Then the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, son of Oded, and he went out to meet King Asa as he was returning from the battle. "Listen to me, Asa," he shouted. "Listen, all you people of Judah and Benjamin. The Lord will stay with you as long as you stay with him. Whenever you seek him, you will find him. But if you abandon him, he will abandon you. For a long time, Israel was without the true God, without a priest to teach them, and without the law to instruct them. But whenever they were in trouble and turned to the Lord, the God of Israel, and sought him out, they found him. During those dark times, it was not safe to travel. Problems troubled the people of every land. Nation fought against nation, and city against city, for God was troubling them with every kind of problem. But as for you, be strong and courageous, for your work will be rewarded." When Asa heard this message from Azariah the prophet, he took courage and removed all the detestable idols from the land of Judah and Benjamin, and in the towns he had captured in the hill country of Ephraim. And he repaired the altar of the Lord, which stood in front of the entry room of the Lord's temple. Then Asa called together all the people of Judah and Benjamin, along with the people of Ephraim, Manasseh, and Simeon, who had settled among them. For many from Israel had moved to Judah during Asa's reign, when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. The people gathered at Jerusalem in late spring during the 15th year of Asa's reign. On that day, they sacrificed to the Lord 700 cattle and 7,000 sheep and goats from the plunder they had taken in the battle. Then they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord, the God of their ancestors, with all their heart and soul. They agreed that anyone who refused to seek the Lord, the God of Israel, would be put to death, whether young or old, man or woman. They shouted out their oath of loyalty to the Lord with trumpets blaring and ram's horns sounding. All in Judah were happy about this covenant, for they had entered into it with all their heart. They earnestly sought after God, and they found him. And the Lord gave them rest from their enemies on every side. King Asa even deposed his grandmother, Maacah, from her position as queen mother, because she had made an obscene Asherah pole. He cut down her obscene pole, broke it up, and burned it in the Kidron Valley. Although the pagan shrines were not removed from Israel, Asa's heart remained completely faithful throughout his life. He brought into the temple of God the silver and gold and the various items that he and his father had dedicated. So there was no more war until the 35th year of Asa's reign. 2 Chronicles chapter 16. In the 36th year of Asa's reign, King Baasha of Israel invaded Judah and fortified Ramah in order to prevent anyone from entering or leaving King Asa's territory in Judah. Asa responded by removing the silver and gold from the treasuries of the temple of the Lord and the royal palace. He sent it to King Ben-Hadad of Aram, who was ruling in Damascus, along with this message: "Let there be a treaty between you and me, like the one between your father and my father. See, I am sending you silver and gold. Break your treaty with King Baasha of Israel so that he will leave me alone." Ben-Hadad agreed to King Asa's request and sent the commanders of his army to attack the towns of Israel. They conquered the towns of Ijon, Dan, Abelbeth, Maacah, and all the store cities of Naphtali. As soon as Baasha of Israel heard what was happening, he abandoned his project of fortifying Ramah and stopped all work on it. Then King Asa called out all the men of Judah to carry away the building stones and timbers that Baasha had been using to fortify Ramah. Asa used these materials to fortify the towns of Geba and Mizpah. At that time, Hanani the seer came to King Asa and told him, "Because you have put your trust in the king of Aram instead of the Lord your God, you missed your chance to destroy the army of the king of Aram. Don't you remember what happened to the Ethiopians and Libyans and their army, and their vast army with all their chariots and charioteers? At that time, you relied on the Lord, and he handed them over to you. The eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. What a fool you have been. From now on, you will be at war." Asa became so angry with Hanani for saying this that he threw him into prison and put him in stocks. At that time, Asa also began to oppress some of his people. The rest of the events of Asa's reign, from beginning to end, are recorded in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. In the 39th year of his reign, Asa developed a serious foot disease. Yet even with the severity of his disease, he did not seek the Lord's help, but turned only to his physicians. So he died in the 41st year of his reign. He was buried in the tomb he had carved out for himself in the city of David. He was laid on a bed perfumed with sweet spices and fragrant ointments, and the people built a huge funeral fire in his honor. End of 2 Chronicles chapter 16. Thank you again for the privilege and the honor of being able to read and meditate on your word daily. And Lord, thank you for the truth that your word really is, amongst other things, a book of prayer. Thank you for how that as we read and meditate on your word, we're communing with you and thus spending time in prayer, heavy on the listening to your voice, listening to your counsel, listening to your wisdom, listening to your blessing, anointing, and grace. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we've been reading through the Word of God. We'll be back.
No one else like you. You are great. powerful. No one can do the things you do. You're the beginning and the end. You're the peace I find within. You're a great God. You are great. You're a great God. You are great.
You are strong and mighty.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no one else like you.
No one can
you
do
are
the
great things. And powerful. No one can do the things you do.
You're the beginning.
You're the beginning.
Jennifer Meikle with Great God. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We continue now reading through the Word of God as we pick up in the New Testament, the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 7, picking up at verse 9. After this, I saw a vast crowd too great to count from every nation and tribe and people and language. Standing in front of the throne and before the Lamb, they were clothed in white robes and held palm branches in their hands. And they were shouting with a great roar, "Salvation comes from our God who sits on the throne and from the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living beings. And they fell before the throne with their faces to the ground and worshiped God. They sang, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and strength belong to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the 24 elders asked me, "Who are these who are clothed in white? Where did they come from?" And I said to him, "Sir, you are the one who knows." Then he said to me, "These are the ones who died in the great tribulation. They have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb and made them white. That is why they stand in front of God's throne and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will give them shelter. They will never again be hungry or thirsty. They will never be scorched by the heat of the sun. For the Lamb on the throne will be their shepherd. He will call them. He will lead them to springs of life-giving water, and God will wipe every tear from their eyes." Revelation chapter 8. When the Lamb broke the seventh seal on the scroll, there was silence throughout heaven for about half an hour. I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and they were given seven trumpets. Then another angel with a gold incense burner came and stood at the altar, and a great amount of incense was given to him to mix with the prayers of God's people as an offering on the gold altar before the throne. The smoke of the incense, mixed with the prayers of God's holy people, ascended up to God from the altar where the angel had poured them out. Then the angel filled the incense burner with fire from the altar and threw it down upon the earth. And thunder crashed, lightning flashed, and there was a terrible earthquake. Then the seven angels with the seven trumpets prepared to blow their mighty blasts. The first angel blew his trumpet, and hail and fire mixed with blood were thrown down on the earth. One-third of the earth was set on fire, one-third of the trees were burned, and all the green grass was buried. And all the green grass was burned. Then the second angel blew his trumpet, and a great mountain of fire was thrown into the sea. One-third of the water in the sea became blood. One-third of all things living in the sea died, and one-third of all the ships on the sea were destroyed. Then the third angel blew his trumpet, and a great star fell from the sky, burning like a torch. It fell on one-third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star was Bitterness. It made one-third of the water bitter, and many people died from drinking the bitter water. Then the fourth angel blew his trumpet, and one-third of the sun was struck, and one-third of the moon, and one-third of the stars, and they became dark. And one-third of the day was dark, and also one-third of the night. Then I looked, and I heard a single eagle crying loudly as it flew through the air. Terror, terror, terror to all who belong to this earth, to all who belong to this world, because of what will happen when the last three angels blow their trumpets. Chapter 9 of the book of Revelation. Then the fifth angel blew his trumpet, and I saw a star that had fallen to earth from the sky, and he was given the key to the shaft of the bottomless pit. When he opened it, smoke poured out as though from a huge furnace, and the sunlight and air turned dark from the smoke. Then locusts came from the smoke and descended on the earth, and they were given power to sting like scorpions. They were told not to harm the grass or plants or trees, but only the people who did not have the seal of God on their foreheads. They were told not to kill them, but to torture them for 5 months with pain like the pain of a scorpion sting. In those days people will seek death, but will not find it. They will long to die, but death will flee from them. The locusts looked like horses prepared for battle. They had what looked like gold crowns on their heads, and their faces looked with human faces. They had hair like women's hair and teeth like the teeth of a lion. They wore armor made of iron, and their wings roared like an army of chariots rising into battle. They had tails that stung like scorpions, and for 5 months they had the power to torment people. Their king is the angel from the bottomless pit. His name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in Greek, Apollyon, the destroyer. The first terror is past, but look, two more terrors are coming. Then the sixth angel blew his trumpet, and I heard a voice speaking from the fourth horns from the four horns of the gold altar that stands in the presence of God. And the voice said to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great Euphrates River. Then the four angels who had been prepared for this hour and day and month and year were turned loose to kill one-third of all the people on earth. I heard the size of their army, which was 200 million mounted troops. And in my vision, I saw the horse and the riders sitting on them. The riders wore armor that was fiery red and dark blue and yellow. The horses had heads like lions, and fire and smoke and burning sulfur billowed from their mouths. One third of all the people on earth were killed by these three plagues. By the first, and smoke and burning sulfur that came from the mouths of the horses. Their power was in their mouths and in their tails. For their tails had heads like snakes with the power to injure people. But the people who did not die in these plagues still refused to repent of their evil deeds and turn to God. They continued to worship demons and idols made of gold, silver, bronze, stone, and wood, idols that can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders or their witchcraft or their sexual immorality or their thefts. End of Revelation chapter 9. Thank you once again for the privilege, the honor, and the blessing, and the responsibility of being diligent students of your word. We being believers, help us to be wise enough and committed to being the diligent students of your word you'd have us to be. Help us to know, Lord, that as we read and meditate on your word, you're pouring grace, peace, power, love, strength, and encouragement into our hearts and our minds. And you're pouring your grace into other areas of our lives as we simply spend time reading and meditating on your word. Help us, Lord, more and more to be growing daily in our knowledge of how wonderful your word is. And help us to be consuming it daily and teaching and training others to do the same. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we usually do before we end the broadcast, if you're listening today and you've never committed your heart and your life to Jesus and you desire to be saved, would you from your heart simply pray this prayer with me and commit your life to Christ? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so, so much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. I repent of the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. You told us in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me, fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Help me to read your word daily. Help me to seek you in prayer daily. Help me to obey you daily. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you committed your life to Christ and prayed that prayer with us, we're hoping to hear from you. We want you to email us. My email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. Please email us. We'd like to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. We definitely hope to hear from you. Also, we'd like to get a copy of the article we shared earlier, The article entitled, Why Should I Read and Meditate on God's Word Daily? If you'd like to get a copy of that article, same email, joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get it to you. Thanks for listening today. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.